This week on Talk About That, John gets hacked by a nefarious New Zealander and ponders a future in politics. Meanwhile, I put my mattress on the floor like a college dorm room and avoid watching He-Man like a good Christian. Also, a conversation about the balance between being confident and staying humble. Today's episode is not sponsored by Sporks. 50% spoon, 50% fork, 100% useless. Let's go.
It's Monday. It's where the souls of many are born before the public. Let's talk about that. Well, the souls of two.
I feel like you. Is that born with an E?
Yes. That's yeah. No, poetic. They're not born. They're born.
Borny. Before the public.
They like are made manifest.
Like ye old times.
Yeah, olden ye old. Times. Did I tell you the other day that poo-poo has two H's on it? It's a
yeah,
real word.
Yeah, we talked about it on the podcast.
I mean, I love it.
I poo-poo that.
I poo-poo. Yeah, so.
Don't poo-poo our podcast. Well, it's good to see you again. My core is engaged today.
Right now?
Well, I'm not happy about it.
I don't think involuntary core engagement is I didn't know that was a thing.
Well, here's what's happening.
That you're hooked up to an electrical current.
So our dog Toby has been through a roller coaster of sickness and weird, unexplained arthritis and everything with him. So he's kind of going downhill and then back uphill and then back down. So we moved the bed to the floor.
Right.
Because, you know, Toby's a bed dog. Our dogs are bed dogs. We're idiots for our dogs. And he can't jump in the bed anymore. So we're like, if this is kind of it for him, we need to, like, have this. I want to make him as comfortable as possible.
Yeah.
So we took our mattress, put it on the floor. Well, it's fine. Like, when you're laying on a mattress on the floor, it just feels like a mattress. It does not change. But getting out of the mattress when you're on the floor, you can't just, like, dangle your feet over and just get out of bed.
You have to, like, sit up.
It's like climbing out of a well every time I have to go to the bathroom. And so I just...
You know, we're just talking about you getting above the floor.
Yes.
You're supposed to be able to do that without using your hands. It's like a measure.
Like a ninja spring seen, up to
that's my, what they say. That's like a measurement of how long you live. If you can get off the floor without using your hands from like a seated position.
Well, part of it's like I have one of those... It's a very spongy mattress. It's very, you know, it's plush.
I'm sure it's the mattress.
So I'm in there.
Part of it maybe that you're a spongy guy. How about that?
I'm a spongy kind of guy.
Hey-o.
But yeah, so I just... the noises... Whereas before you just kind of swing your legs over, you're out of bed... And so when you fall into bed, you're falling like 4 feet onto the floor too. So it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
So I'm sore today.
So this whole time, by the way, when you tell me that you put the mattress on the floor.
Yeah.
I thought that was a mattress just for the dog. I did not realize that you were sleeping on the floor.
No, we're on the floor with our dog because I wanted him to be, he sleeps in the bed.
What a guy.
So I was like, well, look, people might think it's weird, but I don't care.
Nah. I'm very sorry about Toby.
Yeah. We hope he's going to turn around. He kind of got so much better during the week last week. Like last time we did the podcast was when we were like they were running tests and then they put him on steroids and he got so much better like immediately.
Yeah.
We were like, oh man, this is amazing. And then last night he started kind of going downhill again. I was like, oh no. And today he's like really stiff again and not standing well and just kind of listless. I'm like, oh no.
If I was doing the scientific method here, I'd put him back on the full. No, you can't do it forever, but do the full dose of steroids and just see if he perks back up again and then you're at least identifying the variable.
Maybe.
You know?
But I don't want to do it without a doctor's note.
Well, yeah, you call a doctor.
Yeah.
It wasn't like telling you to go out to the street corner and buy steroids for a dog. I can't get somebody to offer me regular drugs.
Who needs two over here? I got.
Okay, right now Johnny is thinking of the canine steroid name. What would it be?
No. It's fine. It's fine. No, I'm bummed out and I'm kind of gloomy today again
sorry,
just because of that. But it's all right. It's part of having a pet. What are you going to do?
Yeah, it sucks. That whole journey as we know.
And you've been through it this week. You got hacked.
So I got hacked last night.
John's pretty important.
Let me tell you. I'm pretty sure it was
people want their hands on that account.
The Russian government, maybe.
People want those 1,000 followers.
Well, there's 1,000 followers, and it's on Twitter, which I don't. Twitter is kind of like just where I automatically post to from Instagram as well. It's always make sure it goes to Twitter as well. Like I don't do a lot of like actual tweeting on its own outside of Instagram anymore.
Or you retweet some things
occasionally.
Yeah,
yeah, but I mean, Twitter is just a. It's a hard place. It's like the dark alley of social media.
Yeah.
It's where you buy doggy steroids.
Yeah, it's like you go. you're just gonna get beat up every time you walk in there. You know, I did look over Twitter a little bit on like Martin Luther King Day, and it was like everybody rebuking everybody for anything they said about Martin Luther King that day. Yeah. Well, if you said things today,
you're using his legacy in the wrong way.
I hope you're living it all, and I agree with that. But it was so preachy after a while. I was like, man. Can anybody, like, I don't know. I'm glad we're honoring Martin Luther King today. So, yes, we should honor more. I got it. there was just like 75 of them, though. It's just like you're just taking
everyone
shots.
Everyone thinks they have his legacy nailed down and everyone else is falling short of it.
Well, that's what I love. Like, Jamar Tisby posted, I can't remember what it was. I can't remember which platform he was on, but he was like, hey, listen, you know, if we should not do injustice to his legacy. Because you have to acknowledge that, you know, there were some political leanings that were more radical than a lot of us want to, you know, acknowledge. And also, he had a deep personal faith that led him towards the work that he did. Like, it's a both-and kind of thing, you know.
Yeah, this comedian, guy from the Nashville scene who's now on Saturday Night Live, James Austin Johnson, he posted yesterday, I just want to thank the internet for teaching me about this great man, MLK, yesterday. He sounds like an amazing leader who was both a conservative Republican icon and a fiery Marxist radical who ultimately wanted everyone to sit back and have a great time in the U.S. of A. It's like, yeah, that's basically, if you read just like a disparate amount of tweets about him, you're just like, he's being co-opted by both sides for whatever reason.
Yeah.
He just wanted us all to be colorblind and blah, blah, blah. He would have stood against CRT too. Yeah. And then you, somebody on the far left is just like making him out to be, you know, whatever. It's fascinating to watch, but people just do. And they do the same with Jesus. That's what's there. I kept drawing those conclusions like, this is what we do with Jesus' teachings. We're like, either make him just like, well, he was a total socialist, communist, whatever, or no, he would have had a gun, you know, had he, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if Jesus were alive now, he would have guns and he'd be at my Trump rally with me, or whatever you decide that your Jesus is.
Yeah.
We just take his legacy and insert it into our own ideologies, maybe.
Yeah, it's crazy, because yesterday someone sent me a TikTok. I'm not on TikTok a lot, Johnny.
TikTok. You're on TikTok.
I did not say TikTok.
I think you said TikTok.
I said TikTok. Johnny, I know what it is. I'm leaving that. I'm not going back to listen.
Can I get you a TikTok? We're not close enough together for me to know if you need
a
TikTok.
You're across the room. So someone sent me a TikTok.
Yeah.
And it was about, I can't say who it was.
Oh, okay.
Because I want to make sure it wasn't taken out of context. Like, it was a part of a guy's speech.
Yeah.
It's a guy that we reference sometimes on the podcast. And perhaps he was quoting someone else. It appears it was authentic, but I haven't seen the whole thing. So this is how, by the way, everybody, I mean this to be preachy myself, but I really am attempting to verify the fullness of a source before we just go isolating out a five-second clip kind of thing. But it would be hard. I can't find a lot of contexts in which this would have made sense, unless for some reason he was quoting, but it sounds more like this what he was saying. I just don't know. You know what he said was, he said he was at some rally, I think like one of the Freedom for America rallies or one of those.
Yeah.
He's a preacher. He's a Christian preacher.
Okay.
And he literally said the words, I hear people tell me that you should preach more like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, well, if I did that, then none of y'all would have bought tickets to this rally.
Oh.
Literally said it. And I was like, And then there's an article in The Atlantic, and it's a quote from another prominent, supposedly Christian. It was talking about Christianity. And the Republican said, hey, I understand this turn-the-cheek stuff, but that's got us nowhere in the past 50 years. And this is a direct quote from a publication.
Oh, right, yeah. I remember this, yeah.
Like, this has gotten us nowhere. Like, we're going to have to basically meet fire or fight fire with fire here.
Yeah.
Or, Johnny, meet fire with fire. It's a whole new thing.
It's a new thing. Don't you hate when Matt Damon says fortune favors the brave?
Yes. I was like, the bold? What are we doing?
Curry literally can't watch it. She seethes with anger.
Well, no doubt that's probably one of the original.
People have uttered this phrase since the time of the Romans. Fortune favors the brave. She's like, they didn't say it, you know.
But maybe,
like,
they did say the brave, and we have the wrong quote in our modern syntax.
I just hate the idea of these stars like pushing their crypto and NFTs on like people who are just broke already, and they're just like, hey man, you're just like Galileo. You're just like Edmund Hillary when you buy $5 of whatever Dogecoin.
By the way, is he supposed to be in a spaceship overlooking Mars? He looks out the window at a red planet. I'm like, where are you right now?
What have they done with Matt Damon? Is he safe?
So maybe that is where they – maybe that is like the ship from which they decided to hack my Twitter account.
Could be.
Because I don't know where it came from. It said New Zealand, which is a little closer than Mars.
Yeah.
But I got this email that said someone, suspicious login from New Zealand. And to all of our New Zealand listeners.
You? And you're like, no.
I wish it was.
To all of our New Zealand listeners.
I was like, did they just invite me to speak in New Zealand? That's what I heard. I was like, oh. Yeah.
All they want's my PIN number.
I bought a ticket. Anyway, that's hubris, Johnny.
Yeah.
And so I immediately go, and before I can do anything, the hacker has already changed my email address, my username, and put a new picture in. Like, it's gone. John_driver, gone.
Yeah.
And it's something else. And it began this vicious cycle of me emailing Twitter. They're like, okay, they reply with this username, email address. So I reply with it. They're like, this username does not exist. We have closed this case. I'm like,
and then they're, please rate your interaction with us. Like, 1 star to 5 stars.
I'm reporting that my account is compromised.
Yeah.
Don't you think the first thing they're going to do is remove my information? So I literally had to start a new ticket. I was like, and that's what I'd write. Please don't delete this or close this case. You're looking for usernames you're asking for that no longer exist. This is why I have a problem. Here's a screenshot with my actual username. Here's a screenshot of the new username where they've done, like, and
it
then.
Is. It's like the scene in Tommy Boy when the lady at the counter says he's trying to get a flight to Chicago last minute. And she goes, hi, I can get you a flight coming back from Chicago. Does that help?
Hi, I'm Earth. Have we met?
I don't think so.
I couldn't. And then when I sent that one, then I got the automated back again. Please give us your user. It's like, oh, I had to rewrite the whole email like 5 times. Why didn't just copy it? I don't know. I reached out to Jeffrey immediately, like, fix it, you know, because he's like,
right.
He gave me, he's like, the website I'm already on.
Jeffrey's the first person I ever knew that was on Twitter. Remember, he used to have a shirt that said, follow me, and it had, like, text something to 40404.
Okay, the funniest part of that story, so that was before Twitter. That was like a, you could follow someone, and yeah, text this keyword to this number.
Yeah.
And so for, like, I'm not kidding, like 5 years, and he is going to die hysterically laughing whenever, die laughing hysterically, I don't know, the words.
Either one.
When he hears this, but for like 5 years, we'd sat around the table like, guys, we just need like the cutting edge, forward thinking way that people could like, I don't know, punch in a number. This is very early. Like, this is probably like 2005, six, you know, something they could punch in a number and like somehow subscribe to something, you know, like we're trying so hard. And I'd never paid attention, but Jeffrey's been wearing this shirt.
Yeah. Subscribing to him.
Yes. And he just sat there with like not knowing, never giving us an answer. And like 5 years later, it was like, he looked down and we all looked down. I was like, he's like, oh, we could just do this. We're like, dude, we've been talking about this and you've been wearing that shirt. So not only do we not notice his shirt.
Yeah.
John, he had the answer inside of him the whole time.
He's Goodwill Hunting. He knew the equation more than the mathematicians did.
Oh my goodness.
He's our Elon Musk.
Isn't that just like our Lord?
I don't
know how it is.
Text Lord to 40404.
Oh, my goodness. So I did get an email from Twitter while we were at lunch.
And they said, we're so sorry.
Well, I attached all kinds of screenshots and wrote very verbosely, something which I'm sure the person appreciated.
Yeah.
And they said, we have now restored this email address. I'd log in. So I have now got it back. And it's a couple things I'm disappointed in. Number one, they did nothing to increase my following while they had control of my account. It's the same number. I mean, you could have done something. What did you want it for?
Yeah, if they're not going to do something nefarious with it.
I mean, you didn't increase it. You didn't even make a post.
They just kind of probably have an algorithm that just finds a bunch of accounts that are, you know, easy to hack, and then they just sift through it. And they were looking at you like, 1,000 followers. This guy's not worth the yikes.
Yeah. See, I don't like the idea of it just being a part of somebody's algorithm. I like to think that some dude actually in New Zealand was like, we got to get this guy. Maybe he's a listener, like right now. He's like, oh, drats.
It is weird, though. It's like, I think about technology when you something comes out and it's kind of inert. It could be good or bad. It could be really, could do some really good things and some really bad things. And like, we're only now figuring out all the bad things that people can do with the internet and social media. And so it's just like, we find out a new bad thing every day. Like, Apple AirTags came out this year or in 2021.
Yeah.
And it's this thing where you can track, I lost my keys, and you can make it like beep and make a pulse and it can track it within 15 feet.
Yeah.
You can put one on your dog's collar. It's great. Except for, you see what people are doing now, right?
I heard about this, but I can't remember.
People are putting them on people or cars to track them without them knowing it. So you just buy an AirTag for $30 and I go, hey, I like John's Acura. And I pop it on there while you're at Longhorn, and then you drive to your house, and then you go in your house or you leave your car for a couple of days, and I wait until I know your car's in your driveway, and I go steal your car.
Wow.
Like, people are using it for these weird, or tracking a person, like slip one into a girl's backpack or whatever. Like, it's so shady, and it's like, this was made to be a good thing, but it's got all these weird, like, back-end loopholes to where it could be used for something awful.
Yeah.
So they'll probably go away, or they'll have to figure out some way to shut it down if it's not been used for, I don't know how they'll do it. But
my favorite part is how we just use technology to tell a bunch of other people how they can also do the same.
Sure. They're like, I hadn't even thought of doing that. I do like John's Acura.
It's like you watch all those murder mysteries or all those cop shows. It's like you watch CSI long enough, you're teaching the criminals how to do it.
Well, I mean, I only know it because I saw the article. So
Sure you did, Johnny. Speaking of, there is something I haven't told you about.
Okay.
I've waited for this moment to bring up. It actually
is this
came,
like an intervention?
It actually is called an intervention, and it came via an email just to me, not to you, from one of our listeners.
Oh, man. I have no idea what's about to happen.
You really don't. I did not prepare, Johnny. This is happening, everybody, in real time. But I got an email from Faithful, wonderful friend of yours, who's a friend of mine as well, and his name is Brian Bates.
Okay.
Brian Bates sent me an email after last week's episode that said, I played golf with Johnny numerous times in 2021. Please don't believe him when he said he only played once.
I don't remember this.
Now, Johnny, I wrote back, I knew he was lying, ! This calls for an intervention on the next podcast. Appreciate the watchdog tip. Hope you are well. So I'm just curious, what are you going to do now that...
I need to see the receipts because I remember playing golf with him, but I thought it was 2020 that we played the most. I thought 2021, by then, I was mostly...
See, I feel like you told me a bunch of times last year, but you just dismissed me outright, and I was going to let it go.
Could be.
But it's a good thing we have someone like Brian out there.
Well, let me just say this. I didn't have a good round all year.
It wasn't memorable, whatever it was.
And it wasn't like I'm blocking out good things. if you've seen me play golf, you know that it's something you want to forget.
You know what? You have an... I'll just call it this. You have an unorthodox golf swing. but it goes straighter than mine that
in
apparently
the same way
is...
like the elephant man had an unorthodox face.
But I will say, you still golf better than me. And everyone's like, dude, your swing looks great.
Yeah.
And then it just goes right into the woods.
No one's ever said my swing looks great.
I would trade your results for my swing, Johnny.
Okay. That will preach.
Will preach. Somewhere.
Here's what I have. I have no follow through. I go back and then I kind of like, once I make contact with the ball, I find myself pulling back. Like I poke it out there.
Guys, and you can't do that.
No.
You got to swing through.
Yeah.
You got to keep going.
You got to follow through in life.
You do. Because if you hold back, actually, again, you keep getting better results. I mean, I follow through every time straight into the woods.
Yeah.
I missed you know what? I found myself missing the golf course, but not enough to go spend $50 to go be bad at something.
You go play a bad course. You don't play $50 courses. You got to go play the janky ones.
Well, even then, it's a commitment. It's a 4-hour commitment.
Yeah, that's the thing with you is that you care about your time. You need to get over that.
Yeah.
You know, so we're all hurtling through space.
There's a new book. I haven't read it yet, but Andrew is on me about it. Called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it's like one of those, it's going to get you kind of books. Like it's funny. I don't want to read that book because I know it's going to tell me that I'm not doing what I should do.
Is it going to tell you to slow down or is it going to tell you to?
It apparently traces like the history of time. That's what he said.
No.
Like when we started keeping time.
Yeah.
And like what this means for us now and how it's evolved. That actually sounds super interesting.
But is it
going to
make you want to be more like mindful of taking rest, or is it going to make you want to get more accomplished?
No, rest. It's like what you know you're pursuing.
Because if you're going to go to like I'm not doing enough.
I'm not pursuing.
I'm already annoyed by how much you're doing.
Yeah, it is a supposedly more of a challenge to the priorities of your life kind of thing.
And like busyness as a positive attribute just by default in our culture.
Right. Yeah, I lived that way. I know you may think I still live that way, but...
I don't know, John. I don't know how you live.
Because you've said a lot of things, Johnny.
I know. We've not played golf together, so take that for what it's
worth.
Johnny,
you wouldn't even know if we had.
And you are...
I remember my youth pastor days, which you remember well.
Mm-hmm.
And
those were good days.
They were great days. And man, I had the calendar by the tail, as they say. I had my life. Like, I remember when we had like 100 kids, like, I knew I had deadlines everywhere, digital post-it notes everywhere.
Yeah.
And just kept things moving. Like you got into this motion where, okay, you got to do this, this, and this. And to the point, I like had office hours, almost like a professor. Like I had one-on-ones with Pastor John. I'd put these slots together between school and youth group.
Did you say this? My door's always open, kids.
No, I was like, my door's not always open. That's why I put these slots out. Yeah.
My door is closed, guys. So I need you to make an appointment.
And it was like,
sorry about your crisis.
It actually was very... It's an appealing lifestyle to me because you really get a lot done and you're running a lot. And I noticed because I'm hanging out with kids right now a little bit while we're doing this youth pastor surge. When I sit in a circle with kids, there's like a real familiar, natural kind of lightheartedness that comes over me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very like, because it was super interesting, like sitting back in a car that you used to own kind of thing. Like, oh, this is, wow, I forgot what this felt like, you know, kind of thing. I don't want the job again or something. I'm not saying that, but it was just a really interesting thing. I like hanging out with kids. That's still something I enjoy. And so I can remember, though, I wanted the adults in my life and the people in the church to know how much I was doing. I didn't know I wanted that, but I was very, like, staying in motion. And like, on Sundays especially, if you saw me, man, I was just running like a house of fire. And we hired John Kerry, and he became just a—
former presidential candidate.
Right. I couldn't believe it. He even applied for the job. But John Kerry became our next youth pastor. And one of his first Sundays here, we were downstairs doing something. There's always a problem, you know, electrical problem. One of the machines goes down. You're trying to, you know, you're running around on Sunday morning. And I don't think it was a major problem. Whatever it was, I was just very busybodied. I'm just moving around quick, you know, just moving around. And he goes, hey. Because you remember John's just such a dear friend. He was so forthright and honest in a good way. And he was just like, hey, what are you doing? I was like, man, I was super offended. I was like, well, somebody's got to get this crap done. Like, it's a real, he's like, you know, you're not helping anybody, right? Like, you're just making everybody more stressed out. Like, we can do this. We don't have to act like it's so super stressful. Let's just do it. And like, look at you. You're just all worked up, you know? And I was just like, oh, like he was right.
He punched him right in the face.
Listen, John Kerry may have been an athlete, but you've not seen guns like I have, Johnny.
Yeah, that's true.
John Kerry would crush me with his pinky.
Yeah.
But no, he was right. And it was like, I was like, you know what? I do. I kind of want people to think that I'm really busy. Like I'm the master of the universe around here. And the truth is, Johnny, I was not.
No, He-Man.
So,
he was the master of the universe.
Yeah, he was the...
Everybody knows that. My mom wouldn't let me watch He-Man because of that. I have the power. Get out of here.
Yeah, by the power of Grayskull. Can't say that. Can't do that. I could listen to the music, though.
What music?
You don't remember? I don't remember what it was, but I...
The soundtrack?
The opening song. The
But
music.
He says it in the thing. That's the whole...
I could listen to that, but I just couldn't watch the show. But it's in the music. I loved the music so much. that was the compromise that my parents gave me. Like,
that's hysterical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man.
I need to go find it. I wonder what it sounded like.
Man. I just remember that part. That's the only part I remember. It's very catchy.
Oh, my goodness.
John, is your heater on? I hear a whoosh.
The heater is on.
Yeah, you need to turn it off. I hear it in the podcast.
You think they're going to hear this?
I think that you turn it off and I guarantee there'll be a difference. Yeah, it's a huge difference.
Guys, I was cold.
See, John's dumb white noise machine over here.
I can't help it. It's cold in here.
You're a problem.
I have a problem. Many problems.
You're bundled up anyway.
I'm not bundled at all today.
You're rocking yourself under a blanket. Under an Afghan.
I'm cold-natured.
That's the thing.
And cold-hearted.
You know, Sadie's going to grow up without Afghans. You know, like an Afghan that like your aunt knitted.
Yeah.
And it's on the couch for no reason. And then you bundle up into that thing and you wake up and you're in it like you're in a web.
Like your fingers have come through the holes.
Like your Nana trapped a wild boar on the couch. You were just trying to get a nap and now you just are in this net.
Yeah. No,
so that's that's over.
Like people
being very crafty. I think people just go. I think there are crafty people.
Yeah.
But here's the deal, and I've noticed this too. I think we might have talked about this before, but people get crafty, and then people try to chase them into making it a monetizable thing.
Oh yeah.
So they either kind of burn out really quickly. They go, hey, I like making these cigar box lamps.
Yeah.
From repurposed whatever stuff I found in the garage. Look, I made this thing, and they go, dude, you should put this on Etsy.
Oh my gosh.
And if that's what you want to do, that's great. And I have a friend that does that. But if you just go,
Uncle Etsy, I made this,
that's right. I made this Afghan for my grandchildren. That could just be a thing you do. But I think that part is going away. Like we've kind of killed off that part of our culture where people just go, hey, I made this thing. It's like people go, you should be doing 12 of these a week.
Just like the song says, Afghan killed the Etsy star.
It's true. That's a different version.
It's a different version. No, I think it's very true. Sadie, you know, got, you know, deep into crocheting.
Okay.
So she made all kinds of things. And yes, it is. It's like the next step for everyone is monetization.
Yeah, you don't just do things for like the sheer joy of it. And I don't know, maybe that's, and maybe some people do, and I'm not trying to make a broad generalization. I'm just saying, what I've noticed is, like if somebody, like when I meet somebody who's just a hobbyist at comedy, it's almost, it bothers me a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, all right, well, if you're not going to do this for real.
Right.
But it shouldn't be that way. I should be like, look, if you want to do a day job and go do open mics, like who is that hurting?
Yeah.
But there's that hustle culture that we have ingrained in us that like, well, if you're not going to do it for points.
Yeah, things that require an audience is hard because, you know, I do a lot of sort of consultations with aspiring writers, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, what do you want to do with this? And that's a really hard question because I always try to tell them, you know, your writing has value without you doing anything commercial with it.
And they feel like if they say they just want to do it as a hobby, that they're like selling themselves short.
They're not serious.
Like, they're giving up. Yeah.
But the flip side is, I remember being a writer that no one, you know, that had no books out there. And it does feel, that's not a good feeling either though, because you're like, well, yeah, but I've already read this. I wrote it. Like, you know, what's the point? So, and now it's just a journal, you know,
it's like the, where do you see yourself in 5 years? It's kind of like such a trap question.
Yeah.
You know, where do you see yourself? Cause if you say, well, right here, so, like, is that what they're looking for?
Right.
Right here in the same old job, being totally content with low benefits and low wages. I love this place. If you say that, they're like, this guy's got no ambition. But if you say, like, I see myself with your job, you know, no, they're like, whoa, this guy's crazy.
Yeah, I've been interviewing a lot of people. It was funny. Andrew's on a call yesterday. And it's one of those, sometimes we'll say things about our church culture that we know they haven't experienced because they just haven't been here kind of thing. But it's an interview. They feel compelled to share something in response.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to look like you know something so you'll get the job. But you're like, yeah, but you're speaking to something that you haven't experienced yet, which is fine. I can't speak to what you've experienced either. It's like there's the pressure. Of course you want – and of course you're entering ministry jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You want someone who's humble. It's ministry. Also, I need you to tell me what you're good at on this call.
Yeah, you need to be – that's a tough thing. You have to be kind of confident.
Yeah.
And you know, well-equipped to do the job and know that you're equipped and also be like really humble. Like, how do you balance all those things?
You know, Beth and Jeff McCord, the Enneagram coaches that I'm helping write on their book, one of our first interviews for me to get the job or not at help, I remember I was like, you know, Beth, I don't want to brag. I needed to tell her that I could do this, some part of it. And she goes, John, this is so refreshing. She was like, John, you know that since I know you're a counterphobic six, that I'm aware it would be almost impossible for you to brag. Like, bragging is one of the worst things that you fear.
Yeah.
Like, you'd rather crawl under this table and come off boastful.
Yeah.
Like, you have a lot of other things, you know, that's not, but that's just not one of them. She goes, so you don't have to worry about it. I was like, man, that was really helpful because I make so many disclaimers to not come off that someone doesn't know that about me.
Right.
But the fact that she
got so neurotic or whatever, they just.
Right. And then you're neurotic because you're making all the disclaimers, you know, so, and I certainly am.
This guy has no faith in himself.
I really do. That's a hard, hard line because I have to go to meetings where I say, and it takes courage to say it, like, listen, I could do this job. I think I could do it well and probably faster than most people.
Yeah.
Like that's, ooh, God, it kills me saying it. I might say it like, that's how God gifted me to do this because I do a lot of other things too. And that must be how this works out. You know, I don't know.
It's been so long since I've interviewed for anything. But I know about me that I'm trying to think of a similar scenario. The closest thing to an interview I think I've had is when I was talking to somebody about managing me years ago.
Yeah.
And it was a big deal.
Yeah.
And it was a huge opportunity. And I was like, because normally you go to somebody, they come to you. They go, hey, you know, we see your career. You're doing well. We'd love to come alongside you and blah, blah, blah. Like people who go, do I need an agent? Well, if you are asking that, you probably don't need one yet.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they'll come find you. But in this position, I was getting ready to sign with one agency, and another agent who I had been like getting advice from said, don't sign anything until you talk to me. And so I kind of knew the next conversation I have with this person is like a make or break deal. And so, they have a lot of success. And I was like, so I had this conversation with them. And I remember this person is the kind of person who just will let you talk. You know?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
They'll let you just give yourself enough rope to hang yourself. Uh-huh. So I'm just like, well, look, if you know, I think I have a lot to bring to the table. And if you just go with me, but I mean, if you don't want to, I get it. I mean, because look, I'm just a young comic. I mean, what am I going to? And so by the time you do and undo everything, like you're giving with one hand and taking away with the other. And they're just sitting back like, I know he was just smiling. And they're like, this poor sap.
He just imploded right in front of me.
And it ended up working out. But it's just that thing of like, I tie myself in knots and I overtalk.
But that's because I'm afraid that if I don't communicate the fullness, you used to say it to me as a speaker, you know, that was something I can improve upon is I literally try to, before I've made my statement, cover every single objection,
all the opposition
that could come from every logical viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fault. It's a strength if I do it right.
Yeah.
I can quickly. But if I get caught in that, or like, I'm now thinking of what each possible negative response would be.
What's what we talked about on Twitter now, where you say, like, I like oranges. You know, they're my favorite. How dare you? You know, because you're
my mom's allergic to
oranges. You're leaving out the people who don't like. What about how you didn't even bring up mangoes? Like, that's kind of the ridiculousness that you get into when you make a million qualifying statements. It's like, it's okay to stand for something.
Yeah.
Like, make sure that you're right and that you've done your research. But then stand for something. It's okay to have a position. Even Dave Ramsey, who I'm not a gigantic fan of, but even he says, like, just if you call in, like, I'm an expert on my opinion.
Right.
Like, all I can give you is my opinion. I'm an expert on that. So you can agree with it or not agree, but this is my opinion. So it's my show. So it's like, you can't fault him for having a strong opinion.
Right.
You know, don't call the show. You know?
Right. No, it's interesting. The confidence, I don't know, maybe. Courage is a big word for me right now, but it does take courage to take a stand because taking the right stand doesn't mean you're not going to have pushback.
Yeah.
It may mean that you'll have more. So if you define a good position by that which most people agree with, which is really what social media trains you to do, let's find a position that's popular.
Right.
So when you're trying to find a position that's right and also is not going to ruffle feathers, then it's really difficult because you're disappointed. I said this and someone disagreed. Or a sermon, you know, could do the same thing. So then we go the other way and we assume the right position ruffles feathers.
Mm-hmm.
Now we reverse engineer and we set out to ruffle feathers, believing that if we ruffled feathers, it must have been right.
Yeah.
And both are wrong.
We definitely grew up with that of like, you know, things are going so bad here. We must be doing something right. The devil's attacking us.
Yeah.
You know, and be like, well, you know, you shot yourself in the foot.
Yeah.
And so that's not the devil.
You
know, you said, and that happens a lot. You see somebody say something really crass and dumb and insensitive on social media. And then there's a huge outrage and a backlash towards it. And then the response is not an apology. It's like a, oh, they got to you. You guys clearly don't even understand what I was trying to say. It's like, no, here it is. Here's a screenshot of it. This, how could I have interpreted this wrong? Show me how, where's the good in this? And then they're like, oh, here we go. This is the cancel culture.
Right.
And they just, that's their default. It's like, well, just think about what you're going to say before you say it. It's okay to stand for something, but own it when you are wrong. Like, we just see so rarely that someone actually apologizes anymore.
Yeah, and then immediately can, after attacking others as a way of communicating, suddenly cry, I'm the victim, is really, really hard. Like, you know, we saw that politically. A, you know, I'm telling you, people would tell me there towards the end of the election, no president has faced more just baseless scrutiny. I'm maybe adjusting the words here, you know, than Trump. And I was like, guys, no president has attacked, as I've ever heard. I mean, I've read a lot of history. I've never heard quite the rhetoric of attack against everybody, including his own chiefs of staff. Like, you know, I'm not talking like, I'm not saying he deserves it or something. I'm just saying, like, surely you recognize that.
Right. When you're being divisive, it's, people are going to be divided about you.
Right. Like, it's going to come back in some way. It's actually just the book of Proverbs. So, and I don't care if a Democrat does it or if you do it, like, it's true for all of us, but to act surprised or that, well, that everyone's just after him for no reason. It's like, there may have been a tone, you know, at least. So I don't know that.
I don't like your tone.
Well, I'm running for office now, Johnny. Oh, maybe I should stop talking about it and do it.
Bro, this could be a huge moment.
It could be. There's a good chance it's not.
This is where we
be.
Inject like Battle Hymn of the Republic behind you.
Oh, my fellow Americans.
Do you think you would be a good politician?
I don't. If by good politician you mean one
getting things done for the good people of Tennessee and following through on my promises.
If you mean good politician meaning I'm gonna be the watchdog of special interests and do whatever they want, then no sir, I'm no politician.
Am I gonna be in the pocket of these lobbyists and special interest groups?
I'm just
What are their names and what are the hours? Wait.
How much do they pay?
What does it pay?
I am just going to be a non-politician. See, when we elect the non-politicians, it sounds great.
Yeah.
Except they don't know anything about how government works.
Yeah.
So that's a problem.
Like, I'm a total outsider. This guy's a total outsider.
Yeah. It's like, again, I'm not harping on someone today, but I'm just saying, I remember when Trump said he'd call the president of Puerto Rico. Yeah. Like, this is a quote. I can't believe a president survived that politically.
Yeah.
You are the president of Puerto Rico. We just put a president in office that doesn't understand.
Give me the president of Puerto Rico online.
But I think he even said, I called the president of Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
So not only, no, you didn't, because you're him. So that's not true. Either you're so if you misspoke, the next move would be to say, what I meant to say was,
right.
I called, you know, I'm the governor of the territory or whatever that may be. But yeah, Johnny, I want to be president of Puerto Rico. I think is what I'm saying.
Man.
It's. I know
that's
you're thinking.
High, that's a lofty goal.
You're thinking I'm not qualified.
I think it's not a job. But I think if anyone could do it, John.
If anyone could do it. See, that's my problem is you'd have to start in local government, and I just.
That's true. You got to start out city commissioner, county commissioner.
I just don't want to.
School board.
I just. Oh.
Can you imagine being the school board right now with all the mask stuff and the. Angry parents at meetings and stuff.
They're giving death threats and stuff. They're school board members.
Yeah.
I can't. I could. I don't. And it would be.
It's people like you that decide not to get involved because you're scared of a little bit of conflict.
He's so
John.
Right,
that's
guys.
Why the system will never change.
He's so right, everybody. I don't know, man. It's one of those. I don't know. I think about. I've been to like city commissioner meetings and stuff, and I just. I feel like I've done committees and stuff in my life. Like I've had, I don't know.
We've been to a few city commissioner meetings ourselves. We went and like made fun of them one time.
Well, they invited us to make fun of them.
They invited us because we did a song at our church. We had a big city census. Mount Juliet was an exploding city at the time. Still is, but
a huge star appeared over Mount Juliet and
2007 was. Was it 2007? I think it was 07 or 08.
I thought that since the sensei
Yeah.
What's the plural of census?
Censuses.
I feel like that censuses happen every 10 years, like on the 10th.
Okay.
Like 2000, 2010, 2020.
I thought I want to say there's a shirt somewhere and it has 2007.
Maybe they, I don't know, maybe they were preparing for it.
I've seen pictures of it in my old.
I really thought it was 2010. Maybe the local census is different.
Well, anyway, we took the opportunity at our church to help like get people signed up because we were really involved in city government at the time as our church. That was like, one of the things like Pastor Andrew was fully believed in that. So and so we were like, hey, so we did these things. We were like trying to get everybody signed up in the church for the census, cards in the back, whatever. And we wrote a dumb song, and it was to the theme song of Cheers, where everybody knows your name. Get on the roll so everybody knows your name. We know these yellow shirts are lame because they had these city census shirts.
Bright yellow shirts.
We know these yellow shirts are lame.
Dude, I played keys live.
Yeah, you played keys. And
then I did big, the, like behind you.
It was
on
a big hit. And we did all the harmonies. And then the city was like, oh, we saw that because it was our live stream or whatever. Like, we saw it. We want you to come do it at our. So we came and did it there.
Like in front of the mayor and the whole.
Yeah. And just.
I found the video.
Mocked their processes.
I found the video.
My favorite one that we wrote was we just got our own little train, our little train that goes from like to downtown.
Uh-huh.
It's called the Music City Star, and it's kind of janky. And we were like, one of the lines was, get on the roll or we're going to make you ride the train. I don't think they liked that because the whole thing was like, take the train to work. Don't commute, you know.
Yeah.
And it was like, if you don't sign up for the census, we're going to make you get on this janky train. People didn't. They're like looking at each other like, is it okay that they did this? It's one of our huge initiatives.
Wasn't the last line something like, when Walmart gets here, everything will be okay?
Yeah.
Because they're building the Walmart.
Yeah. I remember, like, whether you've been here for 30 years or you just relocated from Maine. We're trying to, like, rhyme zone anything that rhyme with get on the roll so everybody knows your name.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. It was a dumb time. But, yeah, it was fun. But, yeah, that's the only city council meeting I've ever been in was just because we were asked to come there and mock them. I wasn't even doing stand-up yet.
No.
That was just you and me doing our dumb stuff.
Doing funny things.
Yeah.
Johnny, I missed you've changed.
You laid the groundwork.
It was fun. We would try anything.
Yeah.
That's the thing. There was nothing we wouldn't try. And I think that's where you've changed, and I miss it. I miss the old Johnny.
I gotta go. I gotta play golf.
You gotta
today.
So yeah, you've changed. You've got these. Yeah, it was fun. Maybe we should. We're not gonna post it.
What? We should post that video?
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't know.
Find it. Post it.
If I found it,
find it and send it to only the patrons. Oh. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. That'd be mean.
Speaking of our patrons,
yeah,
we got a new patron this week.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So thank you guys so much for your support.
We love our people so much that take care of us and help us make more things.
I can give you guys a little update on some things moving forward. We are going to be adding a video component soon.
Yes.
And you'll be able to see our podcast on YouTube. We are actually remodeling in a different room around here for a podcast studio.
Audio version still be available.
Yep. Same thing as always for audio listeners. We encourage you those. You'll start seeing video clips of us. So we're designing. That space is being cleared out right now. We're about to start painting and things. So pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff coming there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If people wanted to hear more about, though, other episodes and how to become a patron, where would they go, Johnny?
Talkaboutthatpodcast.com.
Mm.
And archived episodes, almost 200.
Yeah.
And you can find out all about the show. Go to the Patreon link if you want to kick in a few bucks. That'd be great.
Yeah.
If not, look, we know it's hard times for some people.
Sure.
Some of you have thrived and flourished, and it's high time that you stop mooching. But for some of you,
hey.
Keep on listening and click away. We don't care. We're not judging here.
Yeah.
You know who you are.
Yeah. Yeah, you know exactly who you are.
You know
are.
What category you fall into.
Hey, continue to send us. We actually had a comment. We had a listener who reached out and said, I once again just wanted to let y'all know how much the podcast helps me get through my weeks. This week's episode was so raw and real, and I'm just so grateful I found it and have it as a source of thoughtfulness and encouragement. Thank y'all. So it was very kind. So, hey, thank you for that great encouragement to us.
I appreciate it. We always like it when people reach out and tell us that they enjoy the show. It means a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You'll be able to see or hear me on the For the Love podcast with Jen Hatmaker on Tuesday. Sorry, it's not a Tuesday. On Wednesday, the 26th.
Okay.
Next week. So,
Jen Hatmaker,
you'll get this on Monday.
Big time, bro.
She was great, man. She's big time.
She's awesome.
It was a big opportunity to get to be there with Reggie and talk about.
When is she going
to
come on our show? That's the big question.
Hey, we'll have a studio now. We are working on a couple exciting guests, actually, because when we go to video, we'll be able to bring more guests in studio. And so we actually have some dates we're working on with some people
right
now.
We call that in the industry a tease.
Let me tell you. So things really are moving around to talk about that world. So make sure you check out Johnny on all of his socials. Make sure you check out his comedy specials and go
and
rate
John
them.
And his new Twitter. What is it?
Yeah, I have not got my username back. It's like.
John 06526. It's just his social security number, basically. It's just.
I'm coming to live with you now, Johnny. Okay. So sleep on the bed, on the mattress.
It happened to me, bro. The Instagram, I got hacked by Russian bots years ago, and I still haven't built back. It's still below than what it was.
Wow.
And look, this is what happens. You know, people just assume they still follow you. They're like, hey, I don't see your Instagram. We're like, yeah, because I got hacked and then my account was deleted and you never refollowed me. Okay. Get on it, people.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I lashed out.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
Sorry about that time when I said that.
This is the snowball effect of someone hacking your account.
It is. The anger, the rage just comes out.
I mean, just the fallout and the people around.
What am I without the ones and zeros to tell me that I'm a person? I'm nothing. Anyway, we're fine.
We're great.
Everything's totally well-balanced individuals.
Hey, guys, thank you. Send us your topics, things you want to hear us talk about, and we'll do it next week on
Talk About That.
Hi, I'm Beckett Cook, host of The Beckett Cook Show. I lived as a gay man in Hollywood for many, many years until I had a radical encounter with Jesus 13 years ago. Since then, I've gotten my master's degree in seminary and published a book called A Change of Affection. On my podcast, The Beckett Cook Show, I sit down with fascinating Christian scholars and thinkers to address the lies of the culture and bring the biblical truth to bear on those lies. To start listening now, go to lifeaudio.com or search for The Beckett Cook Show on your favorite podcasting platform.